Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilder, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., and at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. And our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effected, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. As we are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. So at this time, I'd like to invite the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. By Francesca.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free. My shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory.
Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision, and I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen. And amen.
Victoria, conquer a triumphant in mind.
Praise be to God. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, taking prayer requests at this time. Let us pray. Lord God Most High, you are the Lord God Most High. We praise you for your exalted position. We honor you, for you are seated above all else. We lift up your name and bless who you are, the professor of heaven and earth. You are the friend of humanity. You are the highest being in existence. For all of this and more, we lift you up as King. Manifest your kingdom. Rule on earth as you demonstrate your power and might above all. And we ask this in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God.
You don't know. everybody, open your mouth and worship the Lord. He's worthy of the glory. He deserves the praise today. Come on, everybody, all over the room, open your mouth and worship Him. Lift your hands and bless Him in this place. Simple song.
our hands together one time. My hallelujah belongs to you. Everybody, come on with confidence and say it.
My hallelujah.
Lord God Most High, we ask you to show us how to live our life in a way that will advance your will, passion, and agenda on earth. Through Christ, you taught us to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done. We seek your hand in our life so that our words and actions will manifest the kingdom of the Lord God Most High on earth. And when we face difficulties and trials, help us to remember that you are Lord over all and that you care. You have got our back. If we will simply trust you, show us this truth again and again as we look to you to meet our every need. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, taking prayer requests at this time. To God be the glory. And again, at 7 p.m., I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. Praise God.
Wonder the kind of clothes that he would wear. Is he tall or is he short? Does he like jazz or contact sports? And what would be his favorite TV show? Sometimes I wonder what he drive, or would he go green and ride a bike? These are all the questions I would want to know. What would he do to pass the day? Does he like to read? Does he like to play? Take a closer look and you will see. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? If Jesus walked the earth today, sometimes I wonder what he'd say. Would he lend a hand to help his fellow man?
would he be afraid, too uptight, or just ashamed to share his life? Take a closer look and you will see, he looks like you. Jesus looks like you, he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? Some will ever see, and you're the only words of life some will ever read. So let them see in you the one in whom is all they'll ever need. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. Like you.
Daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening, amen, which is entitled Peace in the Chaos. And our scripture reading is coming from Psalms chapter 121 verses 1 through 8, amen. And here this chapter deals with we can depend upon God for help. You know, pilgrims must travel through lonely countries to their destination, and they are protected not by anything created, but by the Creator of everything. Amen. So the scripture says, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and it says, to the mountains, does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleep. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you and as your protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon at night. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Praise be to God. So you see, this song expresses assurance and hope in God's protection day and night. He not only made the hills, but heaven and earth as well. We should never trust a lesser power than God himself. But not only is he all powerful, he also watches over us. Nothing diverts or deters him. We are safe. We never outgrow our need for God's untiring watch over our lives. Amen. Again, the title of this message is Peace in Chaos. And my text for this message is coming from Psalms 121 and 2. And it says, our help comes from the Lord, the master of heaven, the maker of heaven and earth. Amen. The writer says something that sound like firecrackers rouse Joanne from sleep. Glass shattered, wishing she did not live alone. She got up to see what was going on. The dark streets were empty and the house seemed to be okay. Then she saw the broken mirror. Investigators found a bullet only a half inch from the gas line. If it had struck the line, she probably would not have made it out alive. Later, she discovered it was a stray bullet from nearby apartments. But now, Joanne was afraid to be at home, prayed for peace. And once the glass was cleaned up, her heart calmed. Psalms 121 is a reminder for us to look to God in times of trouble. Here, we see that we can have peace and calm because our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The God who created the universe helps and watches over us even while we sleep, but he himself never sleeps. He watches over us day and night, both now and forevermore. Amen. Praise be to God. And no matter what kind of situation we find ourselves in, God sees. And he's waiting for us to turn to him. And when we do, our circumstances may not always change, but he's promised his peace in the midst of it all. Amen? Praise be to God. Now, when have you experienced God's peace in a troubling situation? And how have you seen him help others? Think about those two questions. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, thank you for your peace. Please continue to calm our heart in the areas of our life that feel chaotic. And we ask this in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And that is our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Amen. To God be the glory. At this time, I'd like to play another selection, and you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. To God be the glory.
The heart of his spirit takes residence in me, purging iniquity to the image of glory. The heart of his spirit lives eternally, path of righteousness, chosen to serve the King of Kings. The Son of God walked this earth, bringing grace to the undeserved, crucified in our place, forgiving sin, interceding. The heart of the Spirit takes residence in me, purging iniquity to the image of glory. The heart of the Spirit lives eternally,
Cutting!
Lord God of truth, we bow before you and ask you to forgive us for twisting your truth. Sometimes we add our perspective in any attempt to change your truth. We don't always let your truth run through our thoughts, but rather choose to worry, doubt, or listen to our own perspective over yours. Your word is truth, yet we have neglected to memorize the promises in your word in order to always hide them in our heart and thoughts. Have mercy on us, O Lord, for seeking to undermine your truth with worldly wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. So again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Wednesdays from every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a mighty word from the Lord. Amen. You wouldn't want to miss this word. It's an awesome word. Praise be to God. And so you can call in your prayer request at 319-527-6204. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda. At this time, as we're going into the second part of our program for this evening, I will play another selection, Victory is Mine by Dorothy Norwood. Amen? Praise be to God. Amen. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord God. Lord God of truth. Thank you for the truth, which is perfectly pure. Thank you for the truth, which brings no confusion. Truth is your viewpoint on a matter. Thank you for not hiding your truth or making it difficult for us to grasp. Your truth is ready, available to us in your word. Thank you for giving us the ability to read. Lord God of truth, and for empowering us to discern your truth from what the world tries to paint as truth, but is actually a lie from the devil. Thank you for the power of your truth, which makes life's choices easier when aligned under your truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. And now as we get ready to go into this second part of our program for this evening. Amen. I just want to at this time to sing a song before I bring my message, which is entitled Safely Through Another Week. And my brothers and sisters, we have so much to be grateful for. We thank God for bringing us safely through another week to be with our loved ones, to do his will, to glorify him, to give him honor and praise. Amen. And here it goes. I will do the best that I can do. Safely through another week, God has brought us on our way. Let us now a blessing seek, waiting in his courts today. Day of all the week the best, emblem of eternal rest. Day of all the week the best, emblem of eternal rest. While we seek supplies of grace through the dear Redeemer's name, show thy reconciling face, take away our sin and shame. From our worldly cares set free, may we rest this day in thee. From our worldly cares set free, may we rest this day in thee. Here we come, thy name to praise. May we feel thy presence near. May thy glory meet our eyes while we win thy courts up here. Here afford us, Lord, a taste of our everlasting feast. Here afford us, Lord, a taste of our everlasting feast. May the gospel joyful sound conquer sinners, comfort saints. Make the fruits of grace abound. Bring relief to all complaints. Thus may all our Sabbath be, till we rise to reign with thee. Thus may all our Sabbath be, till we rest and reign with thee. Amen. Let us pray. Precious and heavenly Father, we come this evening to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, to thank you for waking us up this morning, clothing our right minds, divine healing in our bodies. We thank you for all that you are doing and all that you're going to do. We thank you for life, strength, health, wisdom, and understanding. We thank you for our families, Lord God. We thank you for watching over them and protecting them from all hurt, harm, and dangers, Lord God. We thank you for the roof over our heads and food on our tables, clothes on our backs, Lord God. We thank you for loving on sinners like us, Lord God, for giving us of our sin. You didn't have to do it, Lord God, but we are so grateful and so thankful that you did, Lord God. We thank you for sending your one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins, that we may have eternal life through him, Lord God. We thank you again for our friends, for our neighbors. We even thank you for our enemies, Lord God. Bless each and every one in your own special way. Guide them in the way that you would have them to go, Lord God. We ask that you protect the children that's over in Afghanistan, Lord God, and to keep them safe from all hurt, harm, and dangers, Lord God. And guide the parents of these children and watch over the American people, Lord God, and protect them from all hurt, harms, and dangers, Lord God. We thank you again for all that you are doing and all that you're going to do, Lord God. We thank you, God, for being just who you are, our Heavenly Father, our protector, our divine healer, Lord God. We thank you again for the Holy Spirit that dwells within us to guide us in the way that you would have us to go, Lord God. We cannot do this without you, Lord God. We need you in our life, Lord God. We need your loving arms around us and to give us that peace of comfort, Lord God. Thank you for doing what you do, Lord God, even though we don't deserve it, Lord God, but we thank you anyway, and we praise your holy name, and we give you all the glory and all the honor. Now, Lord God, allow this service to be as you would have it to be, Lord God, and let all that are listening, Lord God, get something out of this word this evening. Now I ask that you remove self out of the way and allow the Holy Spirit to bring forth thus what says the Lord. And I ask all of this In the mighty name of your son, Jesus, we do pray. Lord God, I ask that you bless our president of the United States and his family. Bless our vice president and her family, Lord God. Bless those in authority. Touch their hearts, their souls, and their minds, Lord God, to do the right thing and make the right decisions for the people and for the country, Lord God. I thank you in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Okay. My scripture reading My scripture reading for this evening, here we go. And I'm coming from John, the Gospel of John, chapter 10. And we're going to read verses 1 through 5. And then we're going to drop down to verses 12 through 17. Amen. Praise be to God. And again, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And it says, these scriptures are talking about Jesus teaches his disciples, Jesus washes, and also he washes the feet of the disciples. And it says, before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. Amen. Now let's go down to verses 12 through 17. And after washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, do you understand what I was doing? You called me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that's what I am. And since, I, your Lord and teacher, has washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth. Slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and also the doing of his mighty word. Amen. So you see in these verses, Jesus was the model servant, and he showed his servant attitude to his disciples. Amen. By washing the guests' feet as a job for a household whole servant to carry out when guests arrived. But Jesus wrapped a towel around his waist. Amen? As the lowest slave would do, and washed and dried his disciples' feet. If even Jesus, who is God in the flesh, is willing to serve followers, must also be servants, willing to serve in any way that glorifies God. Are you willing to follow Christ's example of serving? Whom can you serve today? There is a special blessing for those who not only agree that humble service is Christ's way, but who also allow through and do it. Amen? Praise be to God. My title for this message is Becoming a People of the Tower. Now, one of the most intriguing characters in the New Testament is a man by the name of Epaphroditus. Amen? Epaphroditus. Now, his story can be found in Philippians chapter 2, verses 25 through 30. Epaphroditus is interesting because he was rare. He was a rare individual. Epaphroditus is interesting because he was a servant. Now, that text we just read tells us that Epaphroditus served the Apostle Paul. He was very sick, but still he was worried about the Philippians because he knew they were worried about him. Amen? Paul goes on to tell us that the sickness that Epaphroditus suffered came about because he was a servant. In verse 30, Paul says, because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service toward me. The phrase, not regarding his life, is interesting. So you see, even though he was sick, he was not thinking of his own life. He was thinking of the Philippians. Praise God. Now, it is a gambling term. It means to recklessly expose one's life to danger. In gambling terminology, it means to risk everything on one roll of the dice. Epaphroditus willingly placed his life on the line to serve Paul. He gambled everything for Jesus Christ so that the man of God would be served and the Philippians church, which had sent him to Paul in the first place, would be well represented. Now, around 250 AD, a group of early Christians around ancient Carthage called themselves the Gamblers. They named themselves after Epaphroditus. These people went into the city of Carthage during the height of the plague, when the bodies were stacked head high along the street and carried the dead outside the city and buried them. They risked their very lives to serve the citizens of Carthage, many of whom hated them because they were Christians. Now, these people possessed the same spirit that dwelled in Epaphroditus. Now, where did Christians like Epaphroditus and the gamblers get their desire to serve others? After all, it is not a natural desire. I believe they got their spirit of selfless service from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, in the passage below, in the passage before us tonight, we see the selfless savior in action. On the eve of his death, Jesus assumes the place of a slave and serves his disciples. While they were eating the Passover, Jesus gets up from the table and dons a towel. He poured a basin of water, and he began to wash the disciples' feet. When Jesus did this place of a slave before his men, he took the place of the lowest kind of slaves, who were called the people of the towel. They were called this because it was their job to wash the feet of those who were superior to them. Amen. Praise God. Jesus did this to call his disciples to become people of the towel as well. He wants every person who follows him to be a servant. He wants us to be a people of the towel. If we are to achieve that goal in our lives, we must develop a heart for others like that which beat within our Savior's breast. We can become a people of the towel. But to do so, we must learn the lessons Jesus teaches us in these verses. Let's consider these lessons together and think about becoming a people of the towel. Now in verses 4 through 5, we must learn from his labor. When Jesus rose from supper, wrapped that towel around his body and washed the feet of his disciples, he was performing an act of selfless service for his men. What Jesus did has a lot to teach us about becoming a people of the towel. Several facts present themselves to us in these verses. Washing feet was slave work. Even Jewish servants could not be forced to wash their master's feet. It was a task reserved for the lowest of Gentile slaves. And sometimes a child would wash a parent's feet, a wife would wash the feet of her husband, or a friend would wash the feet of a friend in a display of extreme affection. So Jesus took the place of a slave before his disciples. He willingly humbles himself to meet a need in the lives of his men. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Jesus washed the feet of his disciples without being asked to do so. In fact, they were probably shocked when Jesus began to wash their feet. Verses 6 and 8 tells us it was a breach of hospitality, failed to wash a guest's feet in Luke 7, 40 through 50. The disciples should have been falling all over one another to wash his feet, but it never entered their minds to serve him. Apparently, they were all waiting for someone to serve them. Jesus served with no expectations of reward. No one even said thank you. He did what he did just because he wanted to do so. Praise be to God. Jesus served the others with a willing heart. No one had a twist. No one had to twist his arm. He voluntarily took the place of a slave and served his men. Jesus served those who did not deserve to be served. Think about it. He washed the feet of Simon Peter. Before the night would end, those feet would stand at a Roman fire as Peter denied Jesus three times. He washed the feet of Judas Iscariot. His feet had already carried him to the Jewish leaders where he bargained away the life of Jesus for a few pieces of silver. Before this night would end, those same feet would carry him back to the Jews where he would completely abandon Jesus to his enemies. Jesus washed the feet of the other 10, and before the night would end, all of those feet would run away in fear. And Jesus knew all of this, yet he served them anyway. When verse 5 says that Jesus began to wash and to wipe the feet of those disciples, both those verbs are in a tense that speaks of continual, ongoing activity. In other words, Jesus kept at the task until it was completed. He worked until every dirty foot had been cleaned. Jesus did what he did for a very special purpose. While he and his men were celebrating the Passover, the disciples were occupied with other matters. While they were in the upper room that night, Jesus was occupied with the weighty matters of eternity. He knew that before the night ended, he would go to Gethsemane, where he would labor in prayer before his Father. He knew that Judas would betray him to the Jews. He knew that the Romans would arrest him and put him on trial. He knew that before 24 hours would pass, he would be condemned, rejected by his people, beaten, crucified, and buried. He knew that he would bear the sins of his people on Calvary. And he died in our place. His mind carried all these burdens. Still, he wanted to serve his men. And while Jesus carried the burden of the lost on his heart, his men were worried about far more trivial matters. Luke 22:24-30 tells us that they were arguing about who should be the greatest among the disciples. Jesus used this opportunity to teach them what being a true servant was all about. And most of us, like the disciples, there are very few who truly possesses a servant's heart. Most are willing to be served, but not too many are willing to serve others like Jesus. We should be willing to serve others regardless of the cost. We must be willing to humble ourselves and do whatever is necessary to serve others. Philippians 2:4, Romans 12:10. Someone has to do the grunt work. We must learn to serve without having to be asked. We must learn to serve others willingly with no thought of reward. 2:6-4, who praise would you rather have? That of men or that of the Lord? We must learn to serve those who are selfish and who refuse to serve. We must teach the next generation how to serve, then teach by encouraging them to be more involved in service. Teach them by an example. There is much we can learn from our Lord's labor. He served others and set a standard for us that we should strive to reach in our own service. That is one step toward our becoming a people of the towel. We must learn from his labor. Verses 12-17 tells us we must learn from his lordship. Everything Jesus did that night reminds us of who he is and what he came to this world to do. Let me run through a short list of facts that stands out. Verse 4, Jesus rose from superior. He had already risen from his fellowship with God, the Father, and God, the Spirit, in heaven to come to earth. Jesus laid aside his outer garments. Jesus had already laid aside his heavenly garment to be born in human flesh, Philippians 2:5-8. Jesus girded himself with a towel. The word refers to a knotted cloth or a slave service apron. Jesus had already robed his deity and humanity when he came to this earth as a man. Verse 5, Jesus poured water into a basin to cleanse the dirty feet of his men. Jesus would soon pour out his precious blood to cleanse the dirty souls of his people. Verse 5 also says Jesus washed and dried the feet of his disciples. Jesus would wash away the awful stains of sin from the souls of all of those who would receive him. I am just trying to remind you who this was that took water and a towel to wash the feet of the disciples. This man was and is God in human flesh. This was and is the Lord of glory. This is the creator of all things. This is God in human flesh. This is the Savior, Redeemer, and Deliverer of lost sinners. This is the King of kings and Lord of lords, Revelation 19 and 6. In the Lord Jesus Christ condensed to serve the disciples, we have no excuse for not serving others. If he would wash the feet of Peter and Judas, how much more should we seek ways to serve those around us? The fact is, serving others is not an option. It is a command. In verse 14, Jesus said, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. The word ought is in a tense that suggests that we should always be washing feet. The Lord has the idea of the goodwill due to another. In other words, the Lord is saying that we should always be looking for ways to serve others for his glory. We should continually be searching for ways to demonstrate the love of God to those around us. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Some people are especially gifted to serve others. It's saying Romans 12 and 8. Those people are easy to identify. However, regardless of whether we have that specific gift or not, we all can and should be actively serving others for the glory of God. Amen. Praise be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. We are never more like Jesus than when we serve others. In Luke 6 and 40, Jesus says, the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. When we humble ourselves and assume the position of a slave, praise be to God, before others, we demonstrate true Christ likeness. When we do, he is glorified and he will honor our service in his way for his glory. Amen. Serving others is a recipe for happiness. Verse 17, when we can come to the place where we stop worrying about who is doing what, and we simply serve who we can, where we can, we will live a more blessed Christian life. If we could ever come to the place where it does not matter who does what job, who gets the glory for what is done, or even why the task needs to be accomplished, we would be developing into a people of the tower. We must learn from his labor. We must learn from his lordship. And we must learn from his love. One final lesson presents itself in this passage. This thought tells us why Jesus did everything he did. It tells us why he came into this world in the first place. It tells us why he became a man. It tells us why he laid aside the riches of heaven to embrace poverty on earth. It tells us why he died for us on the cross. It tells us why he is willingly assumed the place of a slave to serve his men. It is very simple. Verse 1 tells us that Jesus knew his time with his men was at an end. He knew he was leaving. And even at the end of his earthly ministry, his heart was filled with love for his men. Before he leaves them, he is determined to teach them a much needed lesson in humility. Before he leaves, he is determined to demonstrate the depths of his love for them. So he assumes the place of a slave and he washes their feet. He served them because he loves them. His love for us explains everything he did for us. His love for us in 2 Corinthians 8:9, which says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." His love for us explains it all, from Bethlehem to Calvary, through the tomb back to glory. He did it all because he loved us. Jesus, just as love compelled the Savior to serve, our love for others should compel us to serve others for his glory. When we love as we should, we will place the needs of others ahead of our own. 1 Corinthians 10:24 reminds us of our obligation to others. It says, "Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth." True love manifests the heart of Epaphroditus. True love lays everything on the line for the glory of God and for the good of others. True love always fleshes out the heart of Matthew 22:37-40, which says, "But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, 'Master, which is the great commandment in the law?' Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets.'" The bottom line is this: genuine love serves others. And as I bring this message to a close, I just want to say to you, my brothers and sisters, I suppose I could ask you if you were a person of the tower. I suspect that true service is an outgrowth of genuine humility. Just as the true humble person has no idea that he is humble. The true servant doesn't see what he does as anything special. That's true because humility is not merely thinking little of yourself. It is not thinking of yourself at all. A true servant doesn't think about how he or she feels. A true servant looks at the needs around him and just does what needs to be done. Without being asked, without expectations of reward, without expectations of thanks, with nothing more at heart than a desire to love and act like Jesus Christ. This is what defines the people of the tower. I hope and pray that this message was a blessing unto you as it was unto me. Amen. And I just want to say that if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. Amen. Now is the time to accept Christ and take the tower and be one of the tower and wrap yourself in humility and serve others. Amen. So all you have to do is repeat this prayer after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. And let us all say amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. And it doesn't stop there. The next thing that you do is to ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you to a good Bible teaching church. Amen. Praise be to God. So now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And let us all say amen, amen, and amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. And that concludes our service for this evening. And I just want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to another episode of Pray One for Another. May God bless you and heaven smile upon you until we meet again. on tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And at 10:15, our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins will be here with a mighty word from God. And following the message will be our portress, Barbara Amore, who will come with our poetry. And following the poetry will come Pastors Stephen and Kathy Dubos from Led by God's Christian Ministry with Talk in the Sanctuary. So God bless you all. Happy Sabbath to each and every one of you until we meet again tomorrow. God bless you and heaven smile upon you. Shalom and good night. Praise be to God.
Belong. for sending Jesus Christ to die for my sins. Jesus, I ask you to come into my life right now. Be my Lord, Savior, and friend. Let your Holy Spirit abide in me. Help me to follow you all the days of my life as your disciple. I thank you for forgiving me and receiving me right now. Any prodigal sons and daughters out there that would like to be rededicated, let us pray. God, I am sorry for my sins. I am sorry that I have strayed from you. I ask you for your forgiveness. I repent for my sins. I don't want to live like a prodigal son any longer, or a prodigal daughter. Renew, revive me as I once again follow you. I thank you, Lord.
Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.